All right. Well, let's get going on our very first podcast. What do you think, Ange? Are you excited?
Yeah, sounds great. I'm happy to be here.
Okay. So this is our first podcast, and this is the deprogram with Angie and Sarah, a place to get deprogrammed, right? I mean, the media is letting us down. Yeah. So yeah, I thought we'd start the top of this show with just a little introduction about who we are, and I'll go ahead and kick things off and then I'll throw it over to you. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. So my name's Sarah Stokes. I am a wife and mother. I went to school a million years ago now, graduated high school, went to college, got a bachelor's, and then after that decided to just settle down and start a family, and have been a stay-at-home wife and mother ever since for the last 20 years. I've got three kids, ages 14 to 20 at this point. So we're kind of in the launching phases, which is exciting and scary, but I've been happy to do that. And, I'll say this, that, I don't know a lot about anything, but I know a little about a lot of things, which probably makes me just dangerous enough to get into trouble. But, I look at this show as a place not to find a lot of answers necessarily. I mean, we're not experts at anything, but we're going to ask a lot of questions and talk about them. I think there's a real lack of that right now in our country and our media. We're not even allowed to ask questions anymore. And I think that's a big problem. And one of the reasons why I wanted to just get out there and join the conversation, just to start asking some questions. I don't pretend to have any of the answers, but I think the questions need to be asked. So that's kind of what I'm doing here. That's a little bit about myself. Oh, I did want to say one other thing. I was born and raised in Iowa. I went to school here, started my family here, and have been saddled here ever since, which I always kind of looked at like a bad thing until recently. I mean, frankly, the last year and a half, going on 2 years now, I have to say Iowa's been a pretty good place to weather the storm as far as the COVID crisis we've all faced. And what has struck me most about it recently is that, I've always admired the founders and what they've set up for us as far as our system of government. I think they were brilliant and did a phenomenal job. But one of the most amazing things to me, and I think we've seen it this last year, is the competition they built into our form of government with the 50 different states. And I know you're in Nevada, maybe you'll speak to that here in a minute, but watching the difference in the states and how they've dealt with this. And, it's really a good thing. I know it isn't ideal to have to pick up a family and move from one state to another, but knowing that that option is available, if things get really bad, you can run to Florida or Texas or South Dakota or Iowa. At least there's a few places that are still able to fight back. And I think having those separate states is really proving to be a good thing where liberty is concerned for the citizens of this country. So I have to say, I'm growing to love Iowa more and more as the months and years go on. And that's where I'm at. That's a little about me. So I'll stop there. And why don't you talk about yourself a little bit, Ange?
Right on. Sounds good. So my name is Angie Ingalls. I was also born and raised in Iowa. I've lived in Las Vegas, Nevada now since, 1996. So I'm basically a native. The whole reason that I wanted to get started on this is actually because of you, Sarah. I kind of tossed around the podcast idea with a couple of girlfriends, never anything really serious. And when you brought up the idea, I thought, wow, I've got time on my hands. I'm a mother as well. My kids are all grown. I have two boys that are both married and have children of their own. My husband and I we're up to four grandkids now. I just have time on my hands. And, just seems like a really good time to get involved in something like this. And like you said, ask questions and give each other a platform where we can kind of dig deeper together and maybe sort through some of the things that are going on and find answers. And if nothing else, maybe just get a little bit of mental calmness within ourselves, to kind of feel like we're doing more than just sitting back and watching this all unfold. So I definitely have a lot to talk about as well. You know, you had mentioned being able to go to the different states and whatnot. And it's funny because I heard somebody on social media talking about that. And she actually was, you know, saying the opposite, you know, don't stay in your state, stay there and fight. You know, if you, if we all leave and herd to Florida and Texas, they've got all of us in one spot where they can, you know, they can do as they please with us. But, so yeah, that's a little bit about me. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to, checking out topics every week and, you know, getting people out there maybe to listen and get involved and ask questions and make some sense of everything that's going on.
Yeah, that's great. And yeah, I like you're talking about kind of dialing back the rhetoric, getting some calm, because we sit and we watch the media and, you know, it used to be they would always say sex sells, right? Well, I think they found a new item to add to their list that sells even better than sex, and that's fear. And boy, once that grips a nation, it's really powerful and dangerous. And so my hope with this podcast too, is just to talk about these things without such hyperbolic language and fear, but to, you know, bring back some humanity and some calm and rational thought about some of these issues. So great. Let's get started. I'm going to just really briefly talk about the format of how we've kind of talked about envisioning this podcast going. So the idea is that each week we'd like to put out a show each week. That's the idea. And each week, both of us will come with two topics in mind, something that struck us over the course of the week that we saw either in the media or, you know, we can get whatever topics interest us and bring them and we'll discuss them. And then end the show with a quote that has either inspired us or shaped us or formed our worldview to some degree that we want to share with our listeners as we sign off each week. And that's it. And I'd also like to introduce a people's choice topic as well. If we get into this and down the road and have listeners reach out to us with a topic that they find interesting or want to delve into a little deeper, they can send us those ideas and we'll pick one each week to include in our topics of the week. So that can be something we look forward to doing in the future, perhaps. But for this first show, I think we've each got two topics to go. Start with one of yours first?
Yeah. So as I was kind of, you know, sorting through all the news this past week, I ran across an article from the New York Times, and it was a report from the CDC. It was an internal report that said that the Delta variant was as contagious as chickenpox. Mm. And when I read that, I just thought, you know, they're just really trying to, you know, as you mentioned, they're just really trying to send that fear. Yeah. First of all, as far as viruses go, from what I know, when they mutate, they're like 99% of the time, the mutations are, they're less deadly, not more deadly. So for them to try to come out and say this Delta variant is contagious as chicken pox and it's so scary and we have to shut everything down again. I think it's a bunch of baloney. And I also think that there is no Delta variant. And they also have no way to even test for that Delta variant virus. There's no way to test for it. Yeah. So I think it's a bunch of crap.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a question that I kept thinking, well, how are they testing for the Delta variant? Because we just found out that according to the CDC, the PCR tests can't even distinguish between COVID and influenza. But now they're coming out with all these variants. And I thought, well, there must be an answer. I'm not asking it as a gotcha question. I really want to know, how are they testing for the Delta variant? I'm sure these scientists have an answer. I'm just curious to hear it. But I heard a spokesperson from the White House finally get asked this question at a press briefing. And her response scared me, because basically it was a non-response. which led me to believe they actually don't have an answer to this question. They don't have a way to test for the different variants, which, yeah, starts to make you wonder, is this all a load of hooey? I mean, and you talk about chickenpox. I think it's funny. Now, they said it's as contagious as chickenpox, this new Delta variant, which maybe it is. It is true that, from what I know, viruses do get more contagious, but also get less deadly. But when I heard the word chickenpox, what I immediately thought of is, because when we think of chickenpox, we think of kids, right? The kids are the ones right. that got the chickenpox, and we even had chickenpox parties so that our kids could get it when they were younger, because it wasn't really that dangerous to them when they were young. And so we'd have them get it and it would be fine more times than not. But so when they said the word chickenpox, I'm thinking, okay, they're trying to get us to think of children. You know, this whole thing through COVID, we've been pretty blessed because it hasn't really affected kids and everybody's kind of onto that. But you want to scare a nation, get them to believe their children are in danger.
As 100%.
As scared as we were for our own lives and the lives of our parents and elderly, which is frightening and scary, sure. But now try to convince us that our kids are in grave danger. And then we'll really do whatever you tell us to do, right? I mean, that's, you don't mess around with people's kids. And so when they use the word chickenpox, I felt like they're trying to convince us that now our kids are in danger. And whether that's true or not, you know, I have a hard time buying until I see the evidence of it and the data to support it, which I haven't yet. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, the VAERS report too is something to pay attention to, you know, and I know with VAERS, it's only a portion of what's really going on out there. You know, there have been over 11,400 post-vax deaths. And that's right. Just what's been reported. So
that's right. And the thing that irritates me a little bit too is that, you know, what they'll start talking about, well, the vaccine is saving all these lives. But before you talk about the lives that it may or may not be saving, first you have to subtract all the lives it's killed. So right off the top, before you start looking at if the vaccine is saving any lives, we have to subtract the over 11,000 that it's likely killed, according yes. to CDC's own VAERS database. So they don't even take that into account when they start looking at the risk benefit analysis. They don't even consider that, which is in and of itself frightening too. But yeah,
for sure. And I just saw today that somewhere in Massachusetts there was a big huge COVID outbreak, mm-hmm. And it's what, 74, don't quote me on that, 70 something percent. I'm pretty sure she said 74% of the people that were part of this outbreak had already been vaccinated,
right?
Fully vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
fully vaccinated. So, you know, it really makes you wonder what their agenda is, why they want everyone to inject this into their body when it's not FDA approved. There are serious adverse events. There are many deaths. And now the CDC has actually, or I'm sorry, the World Health Organization has put a halt to any boosters for the next 2 months. So no booster shots for the next 2 months.
I haven't heard that. Is that so? That's interesting.
And I think they're trying to lean towards the reason for that was because they're saying that the Black community, there's only about 23% of the Black community that has actually been able to get vaccinated. So it's like, it's got a real funny smell of segregation. It's right. quite interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot that just doesn't pass the smell test here. I don't know, but moving on, I'll bring up my first topic, which kind of goes hand in hand with what we've been talking about. And that is, you know, the vaccine mandates and what de Blasio is doing in New York City, mandating it for any indoor dining, theaters, gyms. And I think I just read Los Angeles mayor is going to be doing the same thing. And we're seeing it more and more mandating it. There's talks about, this hasn't been done yet, but of course there's talk about, you know, mandating it for everything, for schools, for getting on an airplane. I think the Biden administration just came out, they're going to mandate it for any foreign visitors to the United States. Of course, I'm sure that doesn't mean the foreign visitors we get on our southern border in droves, but anyone else,
yeah, for exempt.
yeah, somehow, but just the whole idea of a vaccine mandate or a vaccine passport. I'll tell you what, this vaccine passport issue, I think, is the issue of our day. And this is our Rubicon. This is our line in the sand. If we lose this battle and we allow them to require us to show papers and to prove a medical procedure before we're allowed to participate fully in society, we've lost everything that we've fought so hard for in this country, freedom and liberty. This really concerns me greatly. It's,
yeah. And you know, and the concerning thing about that is that it's 100% illegal for them to do that, to require to show proof of a vaccination. It just kind of alarms me, because the other day when we were talking and, you know, we were saying, you know, how much evil there is out in the world. And I said, yeah, you know, I don't know what scares me more, the evil that's in the world or all the people that are just oblivious to it, whether they agree with it or they just don't do enough research or they don't care. Yeah. And so I thought, you know, with this whole vaccine passport thing, it gives me chills to think about the people that will probably be lining up for that.
Right. I mean, you make a good point. This is an issue that it doesn't even matter what you think about the vaccine, whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, or you're, you know, in favor of getting the vaccine or not, or wherever you fall on this COVID-19 vaccine, the idea that our government can mandate a medical procedure and require you to show proof before you participate in society should send chills down the spine of every red-blooded American. I mean, this is what we fought for. This is what we've seen millions of people die because of over the course of history. I mean, these are the kinds of things that are hard to reel back in once the government gets that kind of power. And we need to stop this. This can't be the direction our country is going, because this is just not the kind of place I want to leave to my kids. Yeah. You know, I've been told my whole life that America is a free country. It's a beacon of light. It's a place unlike any other in the world, that we have liberties and we're guaranteed these with our Constitution. And I'm starting to wonder if I've been lied to, because I just have this ominous feeling with these vaccine passports. It's a really dangerous precedent to set.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, you know, it really has nothing to do with whether you're for the vaccine or not. That's really not even the point. It's just the point of our basic human rights and, you know, valuing the Constitution. And it's just amazing to me the amount of people that are on board with something like that. I was talking to my my younger son the other day, and you know, he was kind of making the comment about, you know, well, I think I had said something about, like, you know, that's very, it's very much like Nazi Germany to have, you know, come knock on our door and try to convince us and put us in a vehicle, you know, per Governor Cuomo. He's got his own problems now, though. Oh boy. But, you know, and my son thought, well, you know, it's not going to get like that. And I said, well, let me tell you something. You know, it doesn't just start off all hell's bells. It slowly goes step by step. You know, first it was a few weeks to slow the spread. Then it was just, you know, shut down for a couple of weeks. Then it was just a mask. Then it was just this. I mean, it's just, you know, not just going to, you know, sandblast us straight to a complete communist country. They're going to slowly creep it in step by step. And I mean, right. That's exactly what's happening.
Right. And what's worse is usually when you kind of look over history at how these things have happened, how governments have become tyrannical, is it is very incremental at the beginning and it's very slow and everybody's on board and it's okay. And just a little here and a little there for your safety. But it reaches a point often where people start to wake up. And so what the government has to do then is move really quick, faster at that point. And I think we're at that precipice where I'm hoping people are starting to wake up, which is good. But on the other hand, it can be a very dangerous moment, because what's the government going to do? Are they just going to speed up the process so that we don't have time to kind of organize and push back on it? That's what we've seen in history happen. But hopefully we can stop that here. You know, I just think this is really the defining issue of our day. And if we give anything to our kids, we have to give them this fight. We have to fight this. So
100%. And I found it interesting too, that when they were, talking about some of these things that they're going to roll out, say the New York key pass.
Right. Yeah.
So my question would be, to anyone that could answer it, is if they're so worried about our health, this is all about the health. This is all about the health and safety. Why the hell are we waiting another 2-3 weeks to roll all this stuff out? Like, why aren't we doing it right now? Let's do it right now. If it's so scary, and we've got the Delta variant and the Lambda variant and all these new variants coming out, and everything's so scary, and we've got to have everybody vaccinated, and we need to have this passport, and you've got to have this thing to show. I know it takes time to roll things out, but like, let's get it going now. I mean,
right. Why wait? Good point. But yeah, I wonder too, because I'm thinking a vaccine passport, that's kind of a pain in the butt to have to carry that around all the time, even to have it on your phone or whatever. You know what they should do? And I think this would be really convenient for everybody involved. They should just take the vaccine manufacturer number of whatever vaccine you got, Pfizer, Moderna, and just tattoo it on your forearm. And that way it's always with you, and you can just, they can set up some tattoo shops where we go in and we get stamped with a tattoo. And I think that would make their lives a lot easier and ours too. So why not?
Yeah, we just, give it a little scan like you do at the self-checkout at the grocery store.
There you go. Yeah.
Bada boom, bada bing, scan. And there you go.
Yeah. Sick. Sick.
And it's funny that, there's probably a lot of people that are like, gosh, that probably wouldn't be a bad idea, because, then I don't have to pull out my phone and I don't have to carry my papers and, and it's a cool, there's probably a lot of, maybe some of the younger generation, and I certainly don't mean to insult, but maybe not even just the younger generation, but there's probably a lot of people that, oh wow, yeah, that'd be a really cool tattoo to get.
Yeah.
There are already people that have tattooed vaccine stuff on them.
I've seen that. Yeah. It's crazy.
Those would definitely be the folks that would be lining up for that barcode, man.
Yeah. that is scary when you think about it. Okay. Let's move on to your next topic. What do you have next for us?
So another thing that I read and was super interested about, and I've just kind of been on the edge of my seat waiting for some good piece of information that's solid that I could sink my teeth into. And it's obviously regarding this election debacle and all this quote unquote fraud. And I read about Captain Seth Keschel exposed a bunch of fraud in Texas. He did this whole analysis considering like population, growth, decline, voter history, registration. So he had done this analysis, and basically Trump won Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia. I think that was it.
Yeah.
So I'm really anxious to, and this guy, he's got a really good background. He's not just some fly by the seat of his pants kind of a guy. He's a retired Intel captain. So I'm really anxious to see what happens with all of that.
Yeah. Well, I got news for you. Probably nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole election, I've kind of stopped following it a lot because I can't even, I had a gut feeling that, you know, and this is just a gut feeling of somebody who really knows nothing about any of it. Trump probably won in a landslide like we've never seen before. That's my gut instinct. I have no proof or evidence of that, but there is some weird anomalies when you start looking into the data. All the bellwether cities that he won, all the signs pointed to him winning, and you know, something screwy here. I don't have the answers. I don't know. And it's weird when you talk to people about the election, and anyone who has such certainty about what happened, I'm always cautious of, because there's just something is amiss here. And to not recognize that, now whether it put Trump over the top, I don't know. If we were completely fair and honest with it, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows for sure. But to say that he didn't win fair and square, I think would be hard to defend that position, well, at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, and I guess one of the questions that I have that I would love to have, you know, some of the Democrats answer is, if they're so sure that Biden won, why are they fighting the audit? Like, wouldn't they be lining up? I mean, if they were so sure that Biden won the election, you know, 80 million votes, wouldn't they be lining up
to prove
it? Can't wait to get the results of the audit. We can't wait to prove that you guys are wrong. And then there were a bunch of social media accounts, Arizona audit accounts, like three or four of them, that they just shut down and disabled them. They said, no, we're disabling these because they didn't want to see the information that was coming out. And see, and that's another scary thing with the media. You know, we're only going to find out what they want us to.
Right. Yeah. And I find the thing that I'm kind of have been following about this a little bit is, you know, weren't the people, the Maricopa County in Arizona required, I mean, they were subpoenaed to hand over some information, and they've just said, no, we're not doing it. So yeah. Why is no one in jail? Like, aren't you, when you're subpoenaed, if I, as an average Joe citizen, was subpoenaed and just said, nah, I don't think so. I mean, wouldn't there be some repercussions on me for that, or what? Like,
yeah, it probably wouldn't take very long, and you'd be behind bars. You know, you'd have some legal action taken against you. It seems like it just takes forever for anything to happen. You know, kind of on a sidebar, it makes me think of Rand Paul putting together he wanted
like an investigation into,
for Fauci.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
you know, but he's asking the DOJ to investigate him. The DOJ and many of our organizations and have like, it seems like they've been turned against American citizens. So I don't see the DOJ doing anything. So, I mean, I credit to Rand Paul, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah, he's the man.
Which actually segues nicely into my final topic.
Oh yeah. Great.
If we're ready to move on is,
yeah, let's hear it.
So the other story that I've kind of haven't been following very closely, just because it's like, I have this almost cognitive dissonance. I can't wrap my brain around this January 6th story. And it's because, you know, when January 6th happened, I remember watching it kind of unfold on the day as it was happening, and, you know, having lots of feelings and thoughts and emotions about what was going on, and fear, but, you know, it kind of fizzled out, and the days went on, the days turned into weeks, into months. And then to start to hear the media and everybody start calling it an insurrection, and the hyperbolic language that has been used around the incident on January 6th. At that point, I got to be honest, I kind of tuned out, because I just can't let myself believe that our country and our you know, our DOJ, our CIA, all these organizations are being turned against Americans. And that's the sick kind of, again, gut feeling I'm getting about this. And so it's almost too much for my brain to handle, and I just kind of tune it out. But one thing that has caught my eye about this story recently is think we're up to 4 police officers now that responded to the January 6th incident have committed suicide, which I find awfully coincidental.
Yeah, that's not a red flag for anybody. I don't care whether you're a Republican or Democrat or, you know, not even political at all. That should definitely raise a red flag and a question to any average Joe.
Right. And so as I think about it, I think, okay, one of 3 things is going on there. Cause this, I mean, it's too coincidental for me. Right. So I'm thinking, well, what's going on? And I came up with three options that might be happening here. Number one, they just suffered so much trauma on that day that it led to them to commit suicide. Right. So that's one option, I suppose. Right. The second option is that they have so much guilt about what happened. Like something happened that maybe we aren't aware of. Perhaps they were in on it. Perhaps they knew something that, you know, that law enforcement was in on it or Congress was in on it or something. Something's going on and they have so much guilt that it led them to suicide. Or 3, they were suicided, you know, which is a possibility too. I guess there is a 4th possibility, and that is that none of them have anything to do with each other. And it is just a coincidence. Then it has nothing to do with January 6th or the events on that day. And it just is a coincidence. I find that one and the idea that they were just so traumatized more unlikely than the other 2, frankly, because one of them, and I don't know about the other, but one of them was a 15-year veteran of the police force. You know, you think about trauma, like, yes, I can imagine January 6th was a pretty unfortunate day for them and probably pretty scary. But it wasn't like there was a lot of violence. I mean, I assume there was some pushing and shoving and there was a window or 2 broken. You know, I don't know all the details and maybe there was more to it than I know, but there weren't Molotov cocktails being thrown. There weren't bullets flying around. It didn't look like Portland last summer, that's for sure. So,
right.
You know, I just don't know. I don't know what the answer is here again. Something doesn't add up and something stinks.
Yeah, I mean, I lean towards either 1, they just couldn't handle the guilt of knowing that it wasn't what they wanted the American people to believe. And they couldn't bear that guilt. Or 2, they were suicided. I think it's one or the other, in my opinion. I really think it's one or the other, because I am a firm believer that they wanted us to see. We didn't see anything from that day that they didn't want us to. They created.
Absolutely. I mean, there's 40,000 hours of video from that day that they aren't releasing. Why?
40,000?
40,000. Well, it's the Capitol. There's cameras everywhere.
Yeah. And
each camera is running continuously.
Right.
So they have video from every angle on every body that was on that premises the whole time. They could release it and they haven't released it. And I don't know why.
So why is that? Why can't we have a little look-see? Why can't we have a peek at that? You know?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, all good questions, very few answers.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I hope some of it starts to get sorted out soon. I know that they had talked about August just being a firecracker of a month, and it seems to be holding true to that, starting out with quite a bang.
Yeah. And you know, staying on this January 6th thing for just a minute. You know, what the other reason I've kind of tuned it out is because what they're doing to those protesters that they've put in jail without due process, again, it just goes against everything I thought I knew about what it means to be an American and the liberties we have and the rights we have. And I just feel like it doesn't make sense. It's not computing in my brain how we can put people in solitary without due process. And then when congressmen come to, you know, check things out and see exactly what's going on, they're locked out of the building again.
Yeah, that was, yeah, Matt, I saw Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Right.
They're denied access.
So, you know, these people tell us to just sit down and be quiet and listen to the media and do what you're told. But, you know, when they don't answer questions, it raises suspicions of Americans. And that's why they're seeing this. You know, they talk about, oh, you know, conspiracy theorists, and we gotta censor everybody who is a conspiracy theorist. But they're just driving more conspiracy theorists because they're not answering things. And so you're left with trying to figure it out without all the answers, and conspiracies start to pop up because what other answers do we have? So maybe they should start. Well,
I had posted something the other day and on my Instagram and basically said, you know, yesterday or today's conspiracy theory is tomorrow's news.
Right. You know? Yeah, I saw a meme and I love it. It says, what's the difference between a conspiracy theory and the truth? 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah. 6 months.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting. I hope that more people are, you know, waking up and realizing, you know, I do pray for this country, and I pray that, I pray for open-mindedness. I think that's essential. You know, you don't necessarily have to believe everything that you hear, you read, you know, you, whatever. But I really feel like people need to be more open-minded.
Well, I just ask the questions, you know, just ask questions. That's, if we're told we can't question the science and we can't question so-and-so because they're a scientist or whatever, that alone should raise some red flags. Whenever you're told you can't ask a question, boy, that's when you should start asking a whole bunch of questions. Which, speaking of that, and you did mention Instagram, I think we should probably start thinking about wrapping up here today.
Yeah, that's
a good first show and getting our feet wet a little bit, and hopefully we'll build on this. But before we end today, I want to let our listeners know where they might be able to find us if they want to follow us, what social media platforms you're on. I can tell you, for me, if you're interested in following me, I am on MeWe and Gab. Those are the two social media sites I am on. It's Sarah L. Stokes on Gab and Sarah Stokes on MeWe. I don't do Facebook. I can't handle the censorship and you know what turned me off about Facebook when I finally, because I was big into Facebook. That was where I had everything, my whole life on there, really. And I finally just pulled the plug on it when it was really the hydroxychloroquine story. When it first came out and they censored it, when Trump first mentioned hydroxychloroquine and people were starting to ask about it and look into it, my gosh, could this really be a treatment, maybe even a prophylaxis to use against COVID? They immediately shut down the story. They censored some studies, some scientific studies. They just censored them. And I thought that's scary. It's really scary, but I thought, okay, I didn't do much. And then later, more recently, it's come out that, actually hydroxychloroquine does work. At that point, I realized, okay, Facebook has cost probably thousands, maybe tens of thousands of lives in what they've done. And I can't be a part of that anymore. It just disgusted me too much. So anyway, I got off Facebook, but I'm on MeWe and Gab. And we also have a email address for the show that you can email your thoughts, your comments, your questions, headlines you want us to talk about. And that is the.deprogram@protonmail.com. So that's theprogram@protonmail.com. So Ange, where could they find you? Are you on any social media platforms?
Yeah, I just have a a teeny little Instagram account. I am on Parler, but I don't think that's, is that even up and running anymore? I haven't even been on that in forever.
It is.
Okay. And I do have a Gab too, but I'll have to provide that on the next episode because I really, Instagram is kind of my only go-to. If you're interested in following me on there, give me a look up and a follow, and you can find me under Ask for Good. That's ASK, the number 4, Good. Ask for Good. I just have my first name on there, just due to all of their intrusive, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, I mean, just
they're intrusive. Yeah, they're intrusive. Yeah. But I have a lot of accounts on there that of people that I trust, where I get a lot of my good information from. So I'm still hanging on with the old Instagram. But yeah, Ask for Good if you want to find me on there. And yeah.
All right. So let's end the show as we intend to do every time with a quote or a saying that brings you positivity into your life or makes you think about things a little differently, whatever it is you want to leave our listeners with as we end the show today. What do you got for us?
Nice. This I ran across. It was actually, I believe it was on Ted Nugent's wife, Shemaine Nugent. I believe it was on her Instagram, but don't quote me on that. And it is, "You would be surprised at who is watching your journey and being inspired by it." Don't give up.
Very nice. Yes, that's true. That's a true point.
So, yeah, you never know who's watching you. So, you know, I know in this day and age, in this world right now, a lot of people are unemployed. A lot of people have gone through some really tough times and hardships, but you never know who's watching you and being inspired by your strength and your perseverance. So just make sure and don't give up.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I picked out I will tell you just up front, most of my quotes are probably going to come from Ron Paul because yes. I just love that guy and he's inspired me so much and really helped form my worldview as an adult. So I love that guy. So be prepared to hear a lot of Ron Paul quotes from me going forward. Although today on this first episode, it is not a Ron Paul quote. It's a Richard Feynman quote, who was a physicist. And I got to be honest, the only knowledge I have of Richard Feynman really comes from watching The Big Bang Theory. If that tells you anything about my scientific background, I know he was a physicist. He died in 1988, I read on the internet. So, but I ran across this quote this week and it really speaks to what I hope to accomplish with this podcast. So the quote that is credited to Richard Feynman is, "I'd rather have questions that can't be answered than answers which can't be questioned." And so we've already kind of talked about that, but but just keep asking questions. And that's what science is. You know, I'm always so annoyed when people say, well, just follow the science, don't question the science. And if you question me, you're questioning science. Well, that's what science is. It's asking questions. I mean, that is the heart of science. So science is a process. It's a process of questioning things. So,
And you know, just quickly, they don't want us asking any of these questions, but why not?
Yeah.
Why? If the answer is such an open and honest and transparent and truthful answer, it should be a real easy process. You ask a question and you get the answer.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, so that's my quote. Just keep questioning. And that's it. That's our show today.
Awesome. Why don't you rattle off your two social media accounts again really quickly where people can find you, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm on Gab at Sarah L. Stokes. That's Sarah with an H, L S T O K E S. And on MeWe, I think it's just Sarah Stokes. If you search for Sarah Stokes.
And then our email address for the listeners one more time.
Yes. deprogram@protonmail.com. deprogram@protonmail.com. So Feel free to reach out.
And ask for good on Instagram for me. And we'll look forward to all the listeners that tune in for a little deprogramming.
Excellent. All right. Until next time.
All right. Cheers.